In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the second Sunday before Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord. Every year the church commemorates the forefathers of Christ in the flesh. So what this means is that the church today remembers in the hymns and asks us to spend some time praying and reflecting on the events that chiefly happened in the Old Testament. And Christ's forebears extends from the Theotokos all the way back to Adam. And the church offers this today for many reasons, but one reason is to show how unique an event that the incarnation or Christmas is. And it shows the humanity that clearly God took on as it traces all the forebears according to the flesh of Jesus Christ. And this ancestry shows that God had a plan, that it wasn't some random event that God decided to come into the world. As an aside, we don't have, obviously, a genealogy for the divinity of Christ. But we're told at the first gospel that's read after the resurrection from St. John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there, now we know that God, the Father, God, the Son, this helped us to understand what the Holy Trinity truly is all about. And so today the church shows us, both through remembering the forefathers and in the gospel lesson today, exactly who Jesus Christ is. And if someone ever asks, people ask me all the time, what do you believe in? I've been asked that since I started going to school. What is your theology? And it's easy. We can boil down our theology to two words. Does anybody know the two words? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Four words, but really two words. And so today the church helps us to understand how dramatic and how unusual this event and the significance of this event in planning, the long planning. So if we think about the forebears of Christ, if we get to Abraham, from Abraham to Christ is 2,000 years. And every forebear of Christ had some characteristic of Christ that was a prefigurement of him. And if we think about Abraham, Abraham offered his son Isaac to God. And then it was through Jesus that God actually did sacrifice his son for us. And then the son of Isaac, Jacob, had this unusual dream. And in his dream, he saw a ladder. And the ladder is depicted in the church that we call the Platitetta, the Virgin Mary, because the ladder is the Virgin Mary. And Jacob foresaw this. God gave him that blessing to understand that through the Theotokos, that God would come down to earth, Christmas, the incarnation, for the economy of God, the plan of salvation of God. An economy comes from a Greek word, two Greek words, from oikos, an ancient Greek word for house, and it means the household plan of God. So for all time, for all eternity, God had a plan, an economy. Another word that we use for this is called divine providence. And this is another term that comes from a Greek word. Providence comes from a word, pronia, which means thinks before. So we think about everything that's happened or does happen in our lives. If we believe in Jesus Christ, then we believe it happens according to divine providence. God either wills it or allows it. And the providence means that God's already thought before all eventualities. And this is why we're asked the Lord's Prayer, when the Lord showed us how to pray, that will be done, because God's already thought ahead of time. So with that, as we reflect on the forefathers of Christ, it really covers the entirety of the Old Testament. And Father Seraphim's been talking a little bit about the Old Testament, but it's important to remember, and we heard it today in the gospel reading in the Orthros, that Christ said every page of the law, the psalm, the prophets, every page of the Old Testament is about him. So if you want to know who Jesus Christ is, you have to read the Old Testament. And in the gospel reading today during Orthros, the disciples said, didn't our hearts burn when he opened the scriptures? Well, the scriptures were the Old Testament. There weren't any other scriptures besides that. So all of this planning for thousands of years goes until one person can be born. And if this person is frequently in our church juxtaposed against Eve, the first woman, and then the Theotokos. And the first woman said no to God and chose another way. And the Theotokos, as we remember, said, let it be to me according to your will. So in God's economy, in God's divine providence, all these generations of people working with God in his economy until we could come to the Theotokos, who could then become what Jacob saw 2,000 years earlier, a ladder that would allow God to come to earth and then for us to go to God. So today's gospel reading, our Lord summarizes the entirety of the New Testament in 11 sentences. And he does this through a parable. And in the parable, he talks about a great banquet and that people are invited. And on the actual day of the banquet, he sends his servant to go make sure that you and you and you who are invited come to the banquet. So clearly, he sent out two invitations. The first was, you could look at like a save the date type of thing. And so when the servant goes out to the people that he knew he'd sent an invitation to, they fell into three groups of no, three types of excuses. One had some land, one had some new ox, another one had a wife, and he may be the only one had a legitimate excuse, but there were these, everyone basically that the master knew who was throwing this elaborate banquet said no. So he said, well, we're all preparations have been made. We can't accept no. So he said, go and get the poor, the blind, the lame, basically the outcast, and bring them in. So they brought all those people in. They said, we got a lot of room left over. And the master of the house said, well, go into the byways and the highways and the hedges. And we take that to mean that these are people who did not live within the city. They weren't within the walls of Jerusalem. These were not people that were Jews. These were people who were us. They were the Gentiles, the people the master did not know. And the gospel reading ends with two sentences that are really a moment of pause. Christ says, after he tells a parable, then he quits talking in parables. He starts speaking very plainly. And he says, of all those who I invited that didn't come, they will not taste of my banquet. And he finishes with, for many have been called, but few are chosen. So that's really a dramatic thing to contemplate, that God has a banquet. Jesus is talking about some big banquet, and that not everyone's going to be able to be in the banquet. And so how we understand that really is the understanding to this parable. In the parable, the man who gives the banquet is God the Father. And he sends the first invitation are all of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And the people of the Old Testament rarely listened to them and frequently killed the prophets. So then God the Father sends his servant, which is Christ. So God, Christ is talking about himself in this parable. And he goes to his people, the Jews. And they didn't accept him either as God. So then he goes, and we read about this almost every Sunday, of some person that Christ healed that then followed him into usually the blind, the lame, and they were uniformly poor. And then the third group that when Christ reported back, there's still plenty of room, and the father said, well, go and bring everybody in. So the invitation is to everybody. So we learn in that second to last sentence that everyone is invited. But then Christ says, but not everyone will taste of my banquet. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so we understand the banquet to mean many things. On a big level, the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom of God is manifest every divine liturgy. Because when, as the priest stands in front of the altar, it's not the priest that offers and is offered. It's Christ who is the sole priest, the sole high priest, that offers himself as the offerer, and then he is the sacrifice himself that was done one time. And then Christ says in the parable, unless you taste of this, you won't be part of the kingdom. And then very few people are going to do that. And when Christ would make a point, he had an unusual thing, a literary device, that he was the only one in history who ever did it. No one else in the Bible did it. There's not another form of literature that this technique is used. And he would say, Amen, lego Amen. Amen, I say it again, Amen. And Amen means, is a phrase of affirmation, of so be it, I agree, of course. And in synagogue worship, when the rabbi would say something, either a teaching or a prayer, we the people would respond, Amen. So when Christ would start off with Amen, it means that I don't need your Amen, one, and two, what I'm saying is the truth. And in John's gospel today, Christ says, Amen, Amen, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you'll have no life. So we take that and we put it together with today's gospel reading, and we understand that Christ on the cross is the tree of life that Adam and Eve were locked out of from the very beginning. And the fruit of that new tree of cross is what gives us life. And Christ confirmed that when he said, Amen, I say it again, Amen, this is how it is. And today he says, if you, those who don't taste of this banquet have no role in the kingdom. So the punchline of the whole gospel today, the lesson is that the last sentence, many are called, everyone is called. Christ calls everyone to the banquet. But the few are chosen. The punchline is that we're not chosen, we choose ourselves. So God tells us today that it's us that decide whether to believe in Christ and to partake of the banquet, the Holy Eucharist, that he freely offers to all those who are part of his body, which is the church. And I pray God always gives us the strength to choose him. Amen. I